Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word. And Lord, as we see a lot of different world events occurring today, it's just good to look at what you said about the end times. And there's so many different thoughts and people wanting to give their opinion. Maybe there's a place for some of that. But we really want to hear from you, Lord, and not be speculating about this or that too much. Prophecy is great, but you only tell us the general ideas. You don't give us all the specifics. But when it happens, then we can say, just as the disciples would say, oh, now I remember you said that in the third day you would rise again. But they never believed it until it actually happened. Lord, help us to glean this morning from these moments together and then to pray to you as you would lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, to put into context, I thought we'd just go back to the Olivet Discourse in the Matthew account. There's, of course, another account in Mark and another account in Luke. But the Matthew account is probably the most well-known, at least the most commonly referred to in a way. Just to remind you, I know you all know everything we're going to say this morning and have been through it many times, but it's still good to be reminded. And particularly, you know, we see that's the way the Lord does it. Everything in the Bible is repeated pretty much. There's always a twin for everything in the Bible, generally speaking, and usually that's often many more times in the Bible than just twice. And so there was a chart that Vernon McGee did that kind of helped a little bit just to remind us, you know, charts in two dimensions are never going to get everything you want it to say. But as you look at the bottom of that first page of the notes, you know, the Olivet Discourse, which is being quoted, we'll quote that this morning from Jesus, that was about 2,000 years ago almost. And then after that, you know, we had the cross after he gave these remarks to his disciples. Then we had the cross and then we had the ascension. And then we have the Pentecost, which happened in Acts chapter 2. And now where you see we're in that large period of time called the church. And that's been going on for almost 2,000 years. And so all during that time, I believe everyone was looking for the rapture to come, at least those who believed in the rapture to come. And we are still doing that today, and but we're getting closer. We're 2,000 years closer to the rapture than it was at the time of the disciples. And so I think we're getting close to the end times. Then we will have the rapture. That's the next thing on the calendar. And then we will have the Great Tribulation. Now, the Great Tribulation shows like a lot of space here. Well, it's only 7 years compared to the church, which is 2,000 years. But you can't put all these things to scale, or you couldn't even read it, you know. And then we will have, at the end of that 7 years, we will be coming back for the second coming of Christ. And that is the Hallelujah Chorus, really. And we played that a little bit earlier this morning, and it's always stirring, and we like to associate it with this, you know, this nation and all, which is partly true, but it's basically talking about him. It's not talking about a nation. So this is where we are. This is the context of the Olivet Discourse, and what happened at that discourse to start it off, we read in verse 1, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple, buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Verily, verily, or assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And of course, if you, when you're there in Israel today, even there's not one stone left other than been pushed off over into the Hinnom Valley there, and that's about 50, 60 feet under the pavement is where those stones are. And we see no stones. So these prophecies absolutely came true at the time of Rome. That was about, 40 years after Jesus, something like that, at around 70 AD. Now, we get into verses 4 to 8. Mark those well in your mind, because that's where we are now. And these are the most pertinent verses for us today. We get to verses 7 on through 14, and we will be in the tribulation. And then we will have at the end of 14, we go into the abomination desolation, which is the midpoint of the tribulation. So we'll just look at these first verses today a little bit, because that's where we are. And so verse 4 begins it. That's where we are today now. Jesus answered and said to them, what? Take heed that no one deceives you. Now, we've had an introduction even in the last few years that we never dreamed would be happening, and that's AI. That's all of this reality, outer reality, or whatever it is, stuff going on. And so now the deception with that is a whole nother exponential greater. So one of the ways you can always test, of course, we go back to the epistle of John, and we always test it by, does it bring you closer to the Lord or not? Now, most of the AI stuff generated that catches my eye or something about somebody receiving Christ or something. And I saw one the other day, which the Pope had received Christ. And man, I'm looking at that. But when you get on through it, it's too perfect. It can't possibly be true. So if you read something that's just so perfect, you know that's not, you know that's AI. Because it can't, I mean, if we said this morning, I had a perfect day so far, everything is going exactly right, and I just thought about nothing but the Lord, and I thought nothing about it, and I prayed for everybody continually, and I did all these things. You'd say, wow, you're having quite a day. Well, that's not really what happened, is it, to any of us exactly that way? So be careful that we're not deceived, and make sure that you and your family have the Bibles that you're holding in your hands. Those cannot be changed. Any application you have, basically, if it gets off your phone anyway, can be changed. And so the scripture can be changed. And pretty soon you get a little changes in there and you don't notice them. And pretty soon you're off track, right? Stay with the written word. And I think it's been said by most pastors, or at least Bible-believing pastors, that without staying in this every day, you will have no chance of not being deceived. This is the thing that doesn't change. Everything else is going to change. So this is what the Lord said. Be careful in those last days where we are right now, that you be not deceived. For many will come in my name. Are you hearing that today? Yes, you are. I am the Christ and will deceive many and will deceive many. The Antichrist, the various Antichrists pretending to be Christ or instead of Christ will deceive many. That's what Jesus said. So do you think Jesus is right? Yes, he always is right. Will you be one of the ones deceived? And that is so important because that's an eternal issue. A lot of these things that are going to happen, we'll read about, are not really so much an eternal issue, but this one is. Deception can actually take you to the wrong place. And if you believe in something other than the Bible, something other than Jesus in the Bible and the resurrection and so forth, you will not be one of those who love him, and you'll not be one of those who will be with him in eternity. So that's a big thing. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Oh, really? Well, we don't hear any of that, do we? Well, so what are we supposed to do? Jesus said, see that you are not troubled. So how troubled are you by wars or lawlessness or anti-Semitism or all of these other things that are out there? Yes, we want to be concerned about them, but we don't want to take our eyes off of the main thing, right? And that is praying for the lost and telling the lost the good news of Christ. That's why we're still here. So wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. That's what Jesus is saying. For the next phrase here is really important in a way to me. For all, how much of that is all? All these things, what? Might happen? Must. All these things must come to pass. So you say, well, I don't want lawlessness to come to pass. I don't want wars to come to pass. I don't want pestilence to come to pass. Well, at least it's passing. That part's good. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. But this must come to pass. And so the must, I think, is important. Also, the to pass is also comforting to us, and it's come to pass, but these things must come to pass. Then what? But the end is not yet. So we're still not at the end, but we're getting closer, aren't we? I think that's what it says. But the end will not come to pass. Now, number seven moves now into that end times, because it says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. And in some translations, it's all nations. Now, you can't have the whole world being included unless you're into the tribulation, because it won't be throughout the whole world until that time. But then it will be through, the church will be out, and evil will be throughout the whole world, various places. All these are the beginning of the sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. So here we're in the tribulation. And kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my sake. Now, this also obviously had another fulfillment during the time of Christ, because the disciples got into a tribulation in a way of their own, as they would be persecuted and come before magistrates and kings and so forth. But we're talking here, I think, generally about the great tribulation, which is going to be worldwide. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Now, you don't want to be here for that. And your friends who say, well, I'll take my chances on the last days. That's the most idiotic statement, but it's right out of Satan's playbook, right? I think hell is filled of well-meaning, moral people who just were waiting to turn their lives over to the Lord, but they never did. So we want to remember that as well. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Now, we saw a little bit of that even in COVID. You remember the hatred? I was in Costco one day, and there was a poor fellow in there without a mask on, and two or three people like descended on him and like, man, this is the worst thing that happened. You know, you got to put your mask on. I mean, because it was one of those things, that's just a mask, which didn't help anyway. But think about what will happen after the church is gone. The hatred will just go through the roof, right? And if you say, well, I believe in Jesus, of course your head will come off for sure, but also you'll be so hated. So the anti-Semitism at that point will make today's anti-Semitism look like a piece of cake, I would think. So that would be is what's going on there. And unfortunately, most of the Jews will go through that because most of the Jews are not saved, right? If you want to look at it that way. Maybe you don't want to look at it that way. They will deliver you up to tribulation, kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound and the love of many grow old. Now, that's already happening now, of course. Look how the lawlessness has increased so much in this nation, particularly in the world generally, but it hasn't been as dramatic as here because we have had such a peaceful background compared to most nations, because we've got more of a Christian influence in this nation than most nations. But lawlessness will abound, and consequently now the love of many will grow cold. Now that will grow cold is a passive verb. It's not something that you have to concentrate on. I'm going to love less now. No, it's going to happen, because as that lawlessness abounds, it will just, love will diminish and hatred will increase. Love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, this doesn't teach that perseverance brings salvation. But it does teach that if we leave the truth, we leave the truth and leave the love of him, then that is an eternal changing situation. He who endures to the end shall be saved. So we want to finish well, don't we? and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. Now, that's not going to really happen until the angel does it, I don't think. It's in chapter 14 of Revelation, and the angel will go throughout the whole world and proclaim the gospel. So that's when it'll... It's not going to be the church that's going to do that, although the church likes to teach that, particularly the evangelistic branches of the church, that we've got to evangelize the whole world before he will come back. Well, I don't think that's what that means. The church can't do that. In fact, you know, parts that were so heavily evangelized 100, 200, 500 years ago today are really in apostasy, right? So they're not really where we want them to be. And so they now send missionaries to this country, you know, almost an example. For example, but the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So that's just a little review of Matthew 24, and maybe it speaks to you. And if it does not really speak to you clearly, spend some time in these verses and look up the passages in Mark and look up the passages in Luke, and that's what Jesus said. So that's a pretty good source, isn't it? Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are not ill-informed. We thank you that we know that the church will not go through the tribulation because you have said God has not appointed the church to wrath. We who believe, the reason we're believers is because we turned away from those things that the wrath will be poured out on. And also, Lord, we know it's a pre-tribulation or it couldn't meet the criteria of watch, wait, because nobody knows the date or the hour. If we know when the tribulation begins or when the tribulation ends, then we no longer are watching and waiting at that date because we already know what it is. But too much of the world doesn't even believe in the tribulation, let alone when it is. So, Lord, we know, we've been taught, and we know that it's right around the corner. And whatever that time is, maybe well past our last breath, I don't know, maybe not. But as long as we have breath, we're to do what you have us to do. May we be in prayer for those things as well. So guide us this morning as we have these moments together once again, is to pray as you would lead us to pray. Whatever the Lord really puts on your heart, may we share that and may we be in agreement with that because it's coming from one Spirit and to us. Teach us to pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the singular head of the whole church around the world. And therefore, we are all united in to that extent that we're in one family. And yet you hear just each one of us individually, which is unbelievable as well. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers. And Lord, this is not the last of the prayers. May we be in prayer continually as you lead us and guide us. And just want to close with going to the cross when we think of what you have done, the price that you paid for mankind. And it just puts all these problems into perspective, Lord. So let's sing this old Isaac Watt hymn. I just think of the scriptures that are in these hymns of some of the old saints. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin? But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight, and I'm happy all the day. Let us sing that song together, if we may. Father, we thank you for meeting us here. We thank you for your faithfulness. You always meet us wherever we are. Mm-hmm. Help us not to dim that light of the living hope that you have purchased with your blood for us, Lord. Help us to go to the cross, to stay at that cross, and to see your great love for us, and let that flow through us to that dark and dying world, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.